Thy word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. This is the Lamp and Light broadcast coming to you from Central Baptist Church in beautiful Ocala, Florida. Lamp and Light is a ministry that takes a book of the Bible, verse by verse, teaching it as it is, to men as they are, without compromise or apology, while at the same time speaking the truth in love, giving the lamp and light to all.
Yesterday, in our study of Hebrews chapter 4, we were taught that through our unbelief, we lose out on the victory of rest. Let's continue with that thought today.
And now, here's our teacher and radio pastor, Dr. Andy Bloom.
And notice the word unbelief. It refers not only to not believing. It has the idea of opposing the gracious word and purpose of God. Is that not what they did when Joshua and Caleb came back and said, let's do it? And the other 10 said, no. Oh, it's the greatest day. The Lord said it was going to be a great land, but we can't do it. We just can't go in. The people, they're too great for us. And the people not only would not believe Joshua and Caleb, but they wanted to form their own group to go back to Egypt. They wanted to get rid of Joshua and Caleb. They wanted to get rid of Moses. They wanted to do their own thing. They not only didn't believe it, they opposed it. Now, verse 11 will imply the same thing can happen to us, where he says, let us labor therefore to enter into that rest, lest any man fall after the same example of unbelief. Well, it can happen to us too. Now, verse 5 here that we've read, and again in this place, if they shall enter into my rest. That's referring back to Psalms 95 and verse 11. It says, unto whom I swear my wrath that they should not enter into my rest. Sounds almost exactly alike, does it not, there in that verse. God's rest is not limited to one generation. Now, whereas Israel was then looking for a Canaan rest, there's another rest for the people of God, which is far greater, to which God wants and desires each believer to enter. And of course, that rest is speaking of reward. Now, this unbelief kept Israel from the rest God wanted them to have. They actively opposed the call of God. Now, often Christians do the same when their unbelief is first apathetic and then refusing to do the will of God in holiness, faithfulness, and love. They therefore lose out on the victory of rest. Notice how 1 Corinthians 15:57-58 states it. But thanks be unto God, which giveth us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. Therefore, my beloved brethren, be steadfast, unmovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord, for as much as ye know that your labor is not in vain in the Lord. Now, it speaks of perseverance with vigor and vitality, because we know we can trust His word, and that we know we will enter into that rest, that is, into that reward. Now, not only is the time in the wilderness emphasized, so too is David's day. Listen to verse 7 of our text. Again, he limiteth a certain day, saying in David, today, after so long a time, as it is said, today, if ye will hear his voice, harden not your hearts. Well, again, we go back to Psalms 95, and we'll look at verses 9 through 11 to see a special point in this passage. There he says in Psalm 95:9, when your fathers tempted me, proved me, and saw my work, 40 years long was I grieved with this generation, and said, it is a people that do err in their heart, and they have not known my ways, unto whom I swear my wrath, that they should not enter into my rest. Now, that passage is clearly referring to Moses' day when they were in the wilderness for 40 years. Now, the word limiteth is defined in Greek to mark out the boundaries, to place limitations upon. Hence, it's to define. Now, why use the word again? So long a time is not in the passage in Psalm. Well, the point is that God was offering to the people of David 500 years after the offer to the generation of Moses. He was offering to that generation a rest. But the offers given with the warning not to harden their heart seem to not to be of any effect. You see, the idea then is not to listen with the ear seeking to find fault. You see, the active voice is used in the Greek showing we are the ones who harden our own heart. Our critical listening is only that we study to show ourselves approved unto God, workmen that needeth not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. And my friend, if our ears hear that which is contrary to the word of God, we definitely need to be opposed to it. But to listen to someone to see if you can find fault and thereby be relieved of fulfilling the word of God is to actually harden your own heart. So don't miss the point. The point is, David also failed to bring in the rest for the people of God. It's not God's fault, because he's the one that's offering it. It is the heart of unbelief that does not believe that all things work together for good to them that love God, for those who are the called according to his purpose. So when the Christian comes on 2 Timothy chapter 3, verses 12 through 13, yea, and all that live godly in Christ Jesus shall suffer persecution. And he goes on to say, and evil men, seducers, shall wax worse and worse, deceiving and being deceived. So a Christian says, oh, I'm going to give it all to Jesus. He gets involved and finds that those things are actually true. And what does he do? Well, he begins to back off and give up. Why? Because he really doesn't believe that even though this great suffering and persecution comes, it's going to work for good. Because they see only the moment, they only see this life, they don't see eternity. Now, the next group used for an example is the people of Joshua's day in verses 8 and 9. He says in verse 8, for if Jesus had given them rest, then would he not afterward have spoken of another day? There remaineth therefore a rest to the people of God. Now he says, if Jesus had not given them rest there in verse 8. The Greek form of the Hebrew word Jehoshua is Jesus. In the New Testament, it refers to Jesus Christ our Lord in every place except here and in Acts chapter 7, verse 45. But whether the name is Jehoshua or Joshua, or if it's Jesus, both names mean Savior. Thou shalt call his name Jesus, for he shall save his people from their sins. Again, if God had given a complete and final rest in Canaan through Joshua, God would not have 500 years later spoken of a rest in Psalm 95. Now, Joshua made three blunders. And I don't sit here as his judge, and certainly I don't think that I attained to the spiritual level of a Joshua. But Joshua wasn't God, and he did make three blunders. First, he failed to gain control of the coastline, and he left the western borders of the land in the hands of the Philistines. Secondly, he made a disastrous covenant with the Gibeonites. And then finally, although he defeated the coalitions of the Canaanites, He failed the mopping up campaigns and moving in to possess all. So Canaan's rest was never fully achieved. And we still today speak of the millennium when Israel will possess all the land. We'll find out then that Arabs are the ones that are actually in that part living on occupied land. They're the ones occupying, not the Jews. But now just know that he has much land up in heaven for you, and with that he has rewards. Oh, don't fail to enter into those things. We must remember that we, Gentiles, non-Jews, are the wild olive branch spoken of in Romans chapter 11. And if God spared not the natural branches to the point they lost even the land that they did have, woe be to us if we failed to hear the word of God by disobedience. So let us not make the same mistake of not profiting by hearing the word of God, that is, by not obeying him. Now, that takes us again to verse 9. There remaineth therefore a rest to the people of God. Now, we noted earlier that the word rest appears 9 times in this chapter, and that's a true statement in English. However, in the other 8 cases, the same Greek word is used, but here, the Greek word is different. Here it is sabbatismos, meaning Sabbath rest. It is the Sabbath rest because the believer reaches a stage of attainment, because the purpose was accomplished for us in Christ Jesus. It's God's own unique and personal rest, and we enter in through sharing his rest with him. In other words, there is no more needed for our salvation. That rest is yet to come. It is the Calvary resurrection rest. When Jesus said, "It is finished," he had finished the work the Father gave him to do. Nothing more to be added to the work of redemption. It's not my works. It's not the prayer of a priest. It's not Mary. It's not church membership. It's not baptism, as Titus 3:5 in the New Testament states, not by works of righteousness which we have done, but according to his mercy he saved us by the washing of regeneration and by the renewing of the Holy Ghost. For there is one God and one mediator between God and men, the man Christ Jesus, who gave himself a ransom for all to be testified in due time. This is your radio pastor, Pastor Andy Bloom, saying, may the word of God be a lamp unto your feet and a light unto your pathway today.
We want to thank you for listening to the Lamp and Light broadcast. If you would like a CD or cassette tape of today's message by Dr. Bloom, send us your name, mailing address, the radio station by which you are listening, the date of the broadcast, and a gift of $5 to Lamp and Light Broadcast, 1714 Southeast 36th Avenue, Ocala, Florida, 34471. We also welcome your comments on the broadcast and Bible questions. Again, you may write us at the same address, which is 1714 Southeast 36th Avenue, Ocala, Florida, 34471. You may also visit us on the web at www.centralbaptistocala.org. No breaks. Click Sermon Library. Again, that web address is www.centralbaptistocala.org with no grace. This is your announcer, Jerry Banks, saying may God's peace be with all. that are in Christ Jesus.